Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, on this 30th day of April.
That's right. A very specifically.
Yes, it is. It's my mother's 94th birthday.
Hallelujah.
And she's listening. So happy birthday, Mama. We'll bring breakfast in a little bit. Yesterday, we started talking about seven reasons to be the man with a picture. We're going to finish that today, but first a brief review. Mark 14:12, Classic Amplified Bible. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary, they killed the Passover lamb. Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you wish us to go and prepare the Passover supper for you to eat?" This was a significant day in the life of Jesus. It was the last time he would share a meal with his disciples before his arrest, persecution, and crucifixion. Mark 14:13-16, Classic Amplified. And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying an earthen jar, pitcher of water, will meet you. Follow him, and whatever house he enters, say to the master of the house." The teacher said, "Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover supper with my disciples?" "And he will show you a large upper room, furnished with carpets and with dining couches, properly spread, ready, and there prepare for us." Then the disciples set out to the and came to the city and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared for the Passover.
Wow.
This is a significant passage of scripture with life-changing, destiny-shaping revelation. So let's talk about the man with the picture.
A brief review. Number one, be a divine connection. Every time we bless others at God's direction, we become His kingdom connection. That's such a blessing. God wants to bless us so that we can bless other people. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Classic Amplified says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation."
Number two, be a servant. Greatness is not measured by public perception, but rather a deliberate decision to serve others as God directs you. Mark 9:35. "And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and a servant of all."
Number three, be a leader. There are defining moments in our lives where we step into a position of leadership, sometimes even unknowingly, or in other times, maybe knowingly. The man with a pitcher of water unknowingly probably led the way for the living water, Jesus, to serve the disciples and ultimately each one of us. Whether we see ourselves as leaders or not isn't really the important part. God created and endowed us with seeds of greatness. He gave us the image of Himself. And so we can be a leader to our family, friends, church, business, and in all of life.
Number four, be a facilitator. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word facilitator means one that helps to bring about an outcome, as learning, productivity, or communication, by providing indirect or unobtrusive assistance, guidance, and supervision. The man with the picture was being a facilitator without even knowing the full impact of what he was doing or how he was being used. God wants to use each of us as facilitators. So let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call.
Well, we may have mentioned number five.
Yeah, we did, actually.
We didn't finish, maybe. We just didn't, quite get things done.
We didn't finish five.
We talked about Abraham Lincoln.
He
said, I will prepare, and someday my chance will come. And we talked about Abraham Lincoln running for office so many times, but not making it, but still serving as president. You know, there was a story about Abraham Lincoln, remember? About someone asked him what would he do if he had 8 hours to chop down the tree?
Yes.
And he said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 7 sharpening my axe.
We brought
that up yesterday. But how much, this is the question for us, how much time do we spend sharpening our axe? Because we spend time in this life making sure we have the right clothes, making sure our hair is done right, or we get all of these outside things that we're thinking about a lot of times on our head.
That's it.
Putting our makeup on, getting the hair straight. But what are we putting inside our head? That is what we provoked you to think about yesterday. Do you spend as much time and preparation by putting stuff in our heads as we do putting stuff on the outside? So the point is, do we invest in books or CDs or MP3s, or are we listening on the way to work to things that are going to edify, take us, you know, higher than we've been before?
This is where we pick up.
And this is where we're exactly. The point is, are we doing what it's necessary? We spend a lot of money on car payments, a lot of money on gas, a lot of money on living in an apartment or buying a house. But what do we invest in making the inside our mind and renewing our mind day by day? So the point is, and by the way, we have the debt-free army, and go to haroldhearing.com. There's lots of free material, and there's lots of things that you can buy that will help you in preparation, because preparation is important. He talked about spending 7 hours sharpening the axe. You know, you never know what you're going to do for God until he gets you at that precise moment. And if you're prepared, then when the moment comes, you'll be ready to step right into it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the old Boy Scout motto used to be prepared. You can never be totally sure when your opportunity for leadership will come. So the point is to always be prepared. I heard a pastor say one time, you don't ever, if you're a teacher, a lay person, or don't ever go to church without a sermon, because you never know when you're going to get picked out to go, hey, do you have a word for the people?
Always have one in your back pocket.
Prepared. The man with the picture maybe didn't realize he was about to become a kingdom connection for God, but he was still prepared. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Number 6, be ready for things to change.
Mm.
Circumstance and facts change. But truth doesn't, and the word is truth.
Yes.
The man with the picture saw his circumstances change when he went to do, quote, woman's work, end quote. Yet doing something that had been considered demeaning for some men was not to the man with the picture. I believe the man was ready for things to change. When it comes to our finances, are we ready for things to change in a positive way? Our financial condition for change for the worse. It can change for the worse by a sudden illness or accident, unforeseen layoff, any other sort of catastrophic event, such as death or divorce. Our financial condition can change for the better with an unexpected bonus, increase in salary, or perhaps an unanticipated inheritance. Our financial circumstance, well, they can change in a heartbeat, for better or worse. However, there's one thing, hallelujah, that will never change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Classic Amplified. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same, yesterday, today, and yes, forever to the ages.
Mm.
If God doesn't change, and he doesn't, if his word doesn't change, and it doesn't, if God's promises remain the same, and they do, then it's fairly obvious we and our circumstances are the ones and things that can and need to change. But let's go a little deeper. Matthew 3:2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. According to Strong's Concordance, the word for repent is G3344. G3344. And it means to change one's mind. 3:2, Matthew 3:2, Classic Amplified. And saying, repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Hallelujah.
Where a person will spend eternity, heaven or hell, changes when they change their mind. Whether you live in lack or surplus, changes when you change your mind. Whatever circumstances you're dealing with, change when you change your mind. Romans 12:2, Classic Amplified.
This is so good.
Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. One more verse. Acts 3:19, Living Bible. Never change your mind and attitude to God. Never change your mind and attitude to God. Turn to him.
Now.
I knew that didn't sound right. Let's try the scripture again. 3:19. Now change your mind and attitude to God. And turn to him so he can cleanse away your sins and spend your wonderful times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. We need to change our minds about our circumstances so we'll be ready like the man with the pitcher when our time comes.
That's right. Number 7, be available and ready to be a blessing. The man with the pitcher was available, and he became a blessing for all the generations since. No question, God wants to bless us so that we can be blessings to people. Hebrews 6:14, Message Bible said, he said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless.
Hallelujah.
And that's a great, excuse me, scripture to personalize. He said, I will bless Ralph with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. And I will bless Sonia with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. I will bless Larry and Gina with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Wow, so God says, I'll bless you with everything I have. I don't know about you, but that sounds amazing to me. I wonder how many people are taking God up on that right now. Put your name in there. Sadly, there are people who love God, but they think that when the scripture says God will bless, it's referring to, well, somebody else, or maybe the sweet by and by. But that is not the way the scripture says. It's not what it means. For instance, in Strong's Concordance, the word bless is found in Hebrews 6:14, is the Greek word that means bless, to cause to prosper, to make happy, to be favored of God.
Wow.
That's incredible. We're talking about being blessed, prospered, and favored of God in the here and now. And one more thing, as a man with a pitcher, you need to be ready at all times. Matthew 24:44. Matthew 24:44, New Living Translation says, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. The word says we need to be instant in season and out of season. The man with a pitcher was ready for his assignment.
So the question is, are you ready for your next assignment?
That's it.
Think about it. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And once again, happy birthday, Mama.
I know. If you want to send Mama a greeting, you can send it harold@haroldherring.com.
Absolutely. She'd love it.
Hallelujah.
We'll read them to her.
We will.
Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.